of your inner core there.
Clay, when you hear the term the Chico vibe, man, what comes to mind? What does it mean to you, man?
Diversity. I mean, think of the massive amount of culture and knowledge and education and music all coalescing and coming together at the tipping point of the vibe.
What about you, Mickey Nelson?
My word would be eclectic. I think coming up to Chico 4 years ago has just opened my eyes to so many different, like Clay said, just the music, the education, the path of learning, I mean, and the beauty around us. Every day when I walk outside, I take a look around and appreciate where I live.
The Chico vibe, Bob, what does that mean to you?
Well, when I think of Chico vibe, I think of just a lot of nice people down at the farmer's market, just buying good food and doing good things. It's a wonderful place to be, and I get to see my friend Bill Mash every Saturday, and it's a terrific place.
I call it getting my Bob Woods fix, so it's mutual, man.
All right, indeed. You're here listening to the Chico Vibe. I'm Guillermo Mash, and this is KZFR 90.1 FM. Chico listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. Thank you for listening to the Chico Vibe. All right, it's my real pleasure to have a friend of mine, Tommy Diestel, on the line, calling in from Montana, where he is studying mechanical engineering. Welcome to KZFR, Tommy Diestel.
Hey, how's it going?
It's doing great, man. It's always good to hear your voice. Now, you're a Chico grad, year 2010, right?
Yeah, Chico High, yeah.
And we're fortunate that you at least got some spare time that you're pumping out these banjo-scored eclectic originals, is my little my little tune on that, in your spare time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your teaser, your teaser digital album downloads on Bandcamp.com, Tommy D.
So I just, this year, I decided I needed to get better at my self-promo as far as being somebody that just kind of plays around in my spare time. I just do, like, some solo stuff, and I do slam poetry as well. And people kept asking me how to find my stuff online, and I didn't have anything set up for anything that was just myself. I've been in bands for so long that everything is through the bands that I had back in California, and so it just felt like it was time to get some more fresh stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. So maybe we wrap this up real quick, because I think just a nice transition, maybe fill us in a little bit on your inner workings of the one you penned, the one you wrote, the Can't Change the Past, man. What's going on with that?
That one's probably one of the most, like, heavy lyrical content I've written about. It's about my buddy Thaddeus overdosing and dying and feeling like there was something more I could have done. And then also, just over the years, like, a couple more friends of mine and people I've known have just dropped off of the earth. And so it's kind of about, like, that first experience for me of losing a friend and losing somebody that was really close, and just about, like, those feelings that I was processing at the time.
If you drop me a line, why do you roam? But now that you'd have taken it up, yeah, that much I know. As long as you know that I would have been there. As long as you know, oh yeah, that I truly do care, oh yeah. Well, I wish I never wrote this song. I wish I never. Death, like they're grains of sand.
Chico Vibe is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Knockout Collision Repair, Chico's high-tech auto body shop specializing in complete collision repair and restoration. At Knockout Collision, estimates are always free and can usually be done while you wait, and they even handle all the insurance paperwork. For an appointment or information, call Knockout Collision Repair at 899-9202 or visit knockoutcollisionrepair.com. All right, we're back in the studio. Welcome to Chico Vibe, May 19th edition. Our news feature is Say What? Shifting City Park Rangers onto Chico Police Department and giving them guns? Say what? And our arts feature is the 1078 Gallery, the last acts on Broadway. And as always, live in the studio for our Arts Talk segment is Jason Cassidy, the Arts Devo at the Chico News and Review. Welcome to
hey,
Chico Vibe.
Hey, Arts Devo here.
Arts Devo here. What's up, Arts Devo? Give us the Arts Devo lowdown, man.
Well, it's graduation weekend, or as I called it this week, graduation weekend, because I like to make fun of things. Anyways, and there's all kinds. What makes it rad is there's cool, low-key stuff going on around town, which is always my favorite, the small ticket items. Mm-hmm. Last night, we already missed it, but they had one showing only of Soul Train, the new John Coltrane documentary. It has to come back. I can't imagine not coming back. And tonight, Blue Room Theater is doing their series Blue Stories, where they have people come and tell stories, true stories about their lives. And the theme this week, this month, is travel. Joe Hilsey, Rob Davidson, Santi Gray, Eva Blanchi, and Hillary Tellison is the MC.
So it's like spoken word. They come in, they've written some stories,
exactly.
And they're going to tell a story?
It's usually saucy. Kind of saucy stories. Saucy and funny.
Saucy and funny.
And then tomorrow night at the Blue Room as well is a night of Leonard Cohen music with just about every, OG Chico musician there is playing covers of late Leonard Cohen songs to benefit the Blue Room. Gordy Ollinger, Steve Cook, Mark McKinnon, Peter Burkow, Josh Haig, Katrina Rodriguez, and probably a dozen more.
So that's the Blue Room tomorrow night?
Blue Room tomorrow night, yeah.
Jason, it's always wonderful. I didn't know that.
And it's Leonard Cohen songs. I mean, you can't go wrong.
I can't miss with that.
And it's all the people there. It's kind of bittersweet. You know, those are all the people that played and knew very well. Someone who passed away last week. I always say his last name wrong. Chris Lozio, I think is how you say it. And they had a great on Saturday, I think it was. For Two Penny Opera, they had a great tribute to him. They played a bunch of songs from bands he was in. And I bet you 90%, if not all, the people playing tomorrow night at the Blue Room played with Chris. And so I'm sure they'll be tipping the cap to him as well.
Wow. I'm going to try to get to that one, I think.
And then the last thing that I think people should go see, if you're not going to go see the thing at the Blue Room, this will be one of those ones you kick yourself in the pants, and someday this guy's going to be huge. He's already on NPR, and his CD just came out, and I'm sure it's blowing up probably as we speak. He's probably going to be too big for Chico the second he leaves Chico tomorrow. But I'm going to butcher his name here. It's Namdi Ogbonnaya. He's a Chicago rapper, but it's not what you'd expect. It's like really cool off-kilter raps, and he has the coolest subject matter, super, super complicated, and yet perfect flow. And the videos I saw of him from South by Southwest, he was playing with a band, but I don't know if he'll have a band or not. But
where's he playing again?
At Midtown Local tomorrow night.
Midtown Local tomorrow night.
At 8 p.m. And Local Scout and Evan Wolverton will open.
Scout's amazing too,
yeah,
man.
She's amazing. She's kind of a kindred spirit of this guy, sort of in that same vein.
It's the same kind of music?
Yeah,
that's
similar,
a great show.
Yeah, that's an amazing show.
And then Cousin Cephas is tomorrow at 1078.
Yeah, the last comedy thing there.
Man, you could like maybe hit them all.
I know,
a little
yeah.
bit of this, and they're all kind of close
screw
together.
Screw graduation parties.
Screw graduation parties. You can just. And then there's Hello. Let me remember here. Hello, Summer. That's actually the Chico benefit. T-Sisters, Achilles, Real Grateful, Bluegrass Boys. That's tomorrow's
hymn. That's tomorrow night, too. Okay.
Lots of stuff going on tomorrow night.
Jeez.
And tonight we got Sir Francis Lee Howard, Big Mama, and this group called Viking Skate Country.
Yeah.
You know anything about those guys?
Yeah, Viking Skate Country is my band. And we're playing with all our buddies. We're going to get noisy and silly, and there'll be lots of hugs and beer drinking.
Hugs and beer drinking.
Yeah.
That sounds like your standard night at the Maltese.
It's a great way to do graduation weekend.
That's one of my favorite places ever, man.
Oh, yeah.
I really
yeah.
like
it. Especially since they remodeled it. It's just such a great place for music. Huh?
Never been in before they did it. So
yeah,
to me, it's
it was great
like,
then. It was just a little, it wasn't, the feng shui wasn't as good as it is now.
The whole patio thing, man. Hallelujah Junction on the patio.
Oh,
dude.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not going to forget that.
That's
that was
wonderful.
Like that was really cool. And then I can't do a shout out for this. All invited to a benefit concert for Chico Housing Action Team's My Brother's Keeper free store for the homeless. That's right now. It's going to open doors. I shouldn't say right now, but you get there, they'll be polite and let you hang around. But three bands, Dylan's Dharma, Bahopki, and Low Flying Birds, man.
Chico
Doors
Women's
at 7.
Club.
Yeah, Chico Women's Club.
Nice.
It's crazy. It's like we're living in a major metropolitan area. You know, Chico's is such a happening place, man.
I know, it's funny. Like, you know, a lot of the big ticket stuff dies down about this time of year when students leave, but the locals sort of rise back to the surface, and there's all this like rich Chico stuff that usually goes on in the summer. I love it. It's my favorite time.
Yeah. Anything we could wrap on, man? Anything that we haven't touched upon? You're kind of like, oh, I just remembered.
Gosh, I don't know. Let's see. What else is going on? I don't know. That's kind of it. Swirling around in my head.
That's all swirling. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing some loud music tonight.
Loud music tonight at the Maltese, man. And, you know, it's cool. No one's ever been to the Maltese. We keep talking about how cool it is. I loved it the first time I went in. I said that last week. But they have a perfect setup. It's like the music's too loud. You want to get outside. They have a huge patio. That's one of the best patios in Chico, man.
Neat booths as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing. Anyway, if you've never been to the Maltese, man, put it on your bucket list and get working on your bucket list. Jason, till next week, man.
All right. Yeah.
It's always
Thanks.
Cool seeing
it's
you.
It's been real. Thank you.
It's been real.
It.
All right, man. Got to move on to the news feature. And here we go. People Powered Radio. All right, Gamble Mash reporting for the Chico Vibe. What you're going to hear next is a brief snippet from an hour and 15 minutes of the Police Advisory Board that was held here in Chico, California on Wednesday the 17th. And you're going to be hearing from the Chief of Police, Chico PD, Mike O'Brien. And he's talking about crisis intervention training and some of the plans that the police department have working with behavioral health. I am going to cover this issue in much greater depth on next week's Chico Vibe. I will be going through the 75 minutes of recording that I have from the physical meeting itself, and I'll be bringing in some folks to talk about some of the comments and numbers and ideas and public comments and all the things that were tossed around. But so tune in next week for the Chico Vibe on the 26th and learn more about this issue. But right now, Mike O'Brien, followed by Lisa Currier from Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage.
So we are in discussions also with Behavioral Health, the County Sheriff, the DA's office, and other county law enforcement agencies on developing a cadre of CIT trainers to provide more consistent CIT training to our region. Right now, we have very few CIT trained individuals in this county related to law enforcement. We need to increase that number. So in September and October of this year, we're bringing Dr. Alvarez back in partnership with Behavioral Health in September and October to provide crisis intervention training for our entire police department. We have 2 days set up, both in September and October, where Dr. Alvarez will be coming up and training our department in crisis intervention training. That training will be opened up to other agencies in the county as well. We have a venue that will support that, and we'll get that invitation to others in the community. We think that's significant as well. And the last issue is discussions that we're having with behavioral health, and Dory may touch upon that during his presentation, but developing a pilot crisis response unit in Chico to see how that might work here.
All right, Gamble Mash here, and I have on the phone for a pre-record Lisa Currier, who is the CEO and founder of the local Crisis Care and Advocacy and Triage. Welcome to KZFR, Lisa Currier.
Hi, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Now, Lisa's going to give us a little bit of a snippet, her comments and insights on the Police Advisory Board that we had yesterday, the 17th, around mental illness and how it's responded to by the police force. What do you got, Lisa Currier?
The thing about it, Bill, is I think they did a good presentation of what's happening, what's in the works. And, you know, and Dorian Cottrell did a good job of what are the numbers that they're helping and that kind of thing. The way that I look at the Police Advisory Board, though, is for community collaboration. So I think that they gave the numbers and that kind of thing. I think we need better representation on the board of, you know, a consumer, peer advocate on the board. We also need more meeting where the town can actually say, hey, this is what we think, collaborate, wrap our arms around, and check out what is needed in the town. You know, the other part of it is that we need to have the collaboration of all the different units, because there's so many people doing great work out there that it's not just one entity that's going to transform the community. It's a community. It's kind of like with NAMI. So NAMI was a grassroots effort that started to help educate about mental illness, and now it's a national phenomenon. And I think that there needs to be some NAMI representation on this board, because that's what's going to educate our public. So our public needs to be educated on, first off, what is happening in the town and why in regards to mental illness, not how many people that we serve and do that kind of thing. They want to know what causes these mental illnesses, what can we do as a family member to help these mental illnesses, what can we do as a peer advocate or peer education. So NAMI has peer-to-peer, family-to-family, you know, Each Life Matters, which in the past couple weeks, Melinda Daniel and Kathy Gurney have been in the high schools, and they're going into the junior highs, and they're educating the kids on what are the signs of mental illness, what are the signs for suicide prevention. Those types of classes is what we need to do, and we need to start at the police advisory and come down and educate our population.
All right, Lisa Currier, maybe as a closing comment, I hate to use an old metaphor, a silver bullet, because there is no silver bullet, but what do you think the most pressing need is, other than what you just described, education, which is hugely important? You got something else to end on?
I think that we're going in the right direction of mobile crisis triage. I think an advocate and a clinician needs to help more on the street. We need to get people out there that can help before, do preventative things before it comes to a crisis, right? So when the crisis happens, there needs to be less police involvement and more mental health involvement.
It's my real pleasure. I'm here with a friend of mine, Elena McRae. All right, we're going to move on to our news feature, which is about the concept that's being, my view, it's moving along a little bit too fast of taking the what small amount of city park rangers we have, I believe the number is 3, and making them police officers and giving them guns. We're going to hear real quickly, speaking on our own behalf as a Chico citizen, Elena McRae, who is the new commissioner for the Bidwell Parks and Rec and Playgrounds. And we also hear from Natalie Carter, who's the executive director of Butte Environmental Council, about some of their thoughts and insights on this very important issue for Chico here on the Chico Vibe. It's my real pleasure. I'm here with a friend of mine, Elena McReynolds, who I've known most of the time I've been in Chico. And we both have a huge love for Bidwell Park, and we're actually doing the interview at the 1 Mile Recreation Area. So welcome to the Chico Vibe on KZFR 90.1 FM, Elena McReynolds.
Hello. Thank you. I'm glad to be here today in this beautiful park on this beautiful day. Everybody needs to get out to the park.
So what we're going to talk about today for the May 19th, the Chico Vibe, is arming city park rangers. Now, Elena is the commissioner of the Parks Committee here in town. She's going to kind of, you know, give you a disclaimer on, you know, who she's speaking for and what she's speaking to. But I'm really interested to see what you have around that whole idea of deputizing, in my terms, the city park rangers and giving them guns.
Yeah, thank you. I do want to say that I'm speaking as a citizen of Chico. And on behalf of myself as a citizen in Chico, I've been very involved in the issue with whatever they're doing, changing park rangers, trained ecologists, naturalists, to be police rangers in the city, probably around 2018, but they're going to be training them. They'd like to be training them this summer. And I do want to talk about that. And I spoke at the 428 City Council meeting about this because it was coming up in the City Council budget discussion. And they hadn't brought it up. And I said, what about this? What's happening with this? Where is this in the budget? And it's my understanding that they believe they're arguing very strongly. And who is arguing? This is the Chief of Police of Chico, Chief O'Brien, and the city manager, talking that they're concerned about the safety of people in the park. So if they give guns to the rangers, we'll be more safe and they'll be patrolling more. They'll be patrolling the same that they have always been patrolling, because there's no more of them. They just be having a gun on them doesn't mean they'll be patrolling anymore. In fact, once they get that training, they're going to be out of the park getting the training. And police training is quite extensive. And then when they get back, it's very clear with a dotted line to the police department, not the parks department, that the work that they do in the park will not be reviewed by people who actually are naturalists, ecologists, who are going to be taking care of the park, that there's going to be a police sergeant of some sort that will be evaluating their work, but who's really assigning them the park work? That's was my concern that I spoke up as a citizen of Chico on 428. And I asked why. I said, I really don't understand why there's a solid line when they're still conducting ranger work. So the other thing that I brought up that was kind of interesting, because it comes back to what happened just recently, is I stated that on March 7th, the city manager sent a letter to the director of the Public Works Department and said there's going to be some changes with the rangers. On March 21st, there was an email from the same parks director to the rangers saying that there was going to be a meeting. And on that meeting, I believe the meeting was on the 14th, that they discussed that the rangers had 1 week to decide whether they were going to stay a park ranger or whether they were going to become a police ranger. And they had to make a decision by the 21st. So in that time frame, that all turned around. And what bothered me was not even taking a position on the ranger situation to police officers or police rangers, was the fact that they made this decision, this human resource, City of Chico HR department made this decision to ask about this before the city council had voted on the budget that's going to be impacted by it. And that was my concern, let alone there's been no research provided on how they're changing this situation. City manager has said that he is doing a personnel action, but this is a program action. They're taking out entire budget for these rangers and moving it over to the police department, like just gutting that program. And there's a lot of concerns around that.
There sure would be, and I know you've been involved with, since I've known you, with the Bidwell Park Watch. Maybe for our listeners that aren't as involved with the park, once again, we're talking with Elena McReynolds, a citizen here at Chico. Give us a little insight on what you've seen park rangers doing in these years you've been involved with the park, and what you expect may change once they're pulled out of the budget of the city parks and put under the police name.
Well, that's an excellent question, because people think that the rangers just walk around and give citations, or they do interpretive work, which is important. Let me explain. Interpretive work is educational programs. They do stuff for the scouts. They do stuff for school districts. They educate children on how to learn and take care of nature and be good stewards. That's an important thing. But the thing that people keep not saying, and I'm meaning the city management, keep not saying, is that they go out and they assess the tree situation. Are they going to fall? The damage to the park benches that we all enjoy, the damage or maintenance and keeping of the Caper Acres area. They also, the health and vibrancy of the plants and flora and fauna that are in the park, and, you know, fire damage. They look for issues that we might have problems when we have the fire season come in Chico. They do much more than people think. And who is going to do that when they step away?
Do you think that even at this point the city of Chico is well known for their park system. It's probably the largest park system of a city of its size in the country. Do you even feel as if we're currently staffed well enough for city park rangers to do what they're doing right now in the first place? What would be your take on that?
Well, I've only heard anecdotally that they think about like 20 people would to maintain the size of a park this large. So it's 3,700 and some change acres large, and it needs more than three rangers here that are on staff right now. They have looked at this, and it was a large number, beyond like four or five or six, to maintain the area of all the parks that we have in the system. The one thing that I do want to bring up before I forget this is the issue of safety. The biggest question I have is we're concerned about safety of the rangers. I've heard this from the police chief and others in the city. Two rangers have been hurt in 30 years. Two rangers have been hurt in 30 years. I believe one was in the park somewhere many years ago, I mean a couple decades ago, and one was hurt recently in the city plaza. Two rangers have been hurt, and so I don't know, that's a big issue. They also have tasers now and pepper spray, and my understanding from the conversations I've had with people in the park, they haven't used them. They haven't used those weapons. Now, I do care about the safety of that, and we want our park to be safe for people to enjoy. But I don't understand how the city of Chico is protected by the police, but it stops at the park. Is not the park part of the city? I don't understand. It's not a separate town. It's not a separate zone. It's part of the city.
So do you have any closing comments for us, Elena McReynolds, as we wrap up here in beautiful Bidwell Park? 1 mile rec area here, getting close to sundown. It's just gorgeous. What would you say, Elena?
I really want to say this. I feel like it's my mission to say this, that if you care about the park, if you care about the city, become a civically engaged citizen of Chico. Go to the city council meetings. Go to the Bidwell Park Commission meeting, which is happening Tuesday at the end of this month. It's usually on Mondays, but we're moving it for the holiday, Memorial Day holiday. But be engaged in Chico. At least just attend the meetings. You can even watch them at home. Attend the city council. See the videos. Become engaged in issues that matter to you.
I'm down here at the amphitheater in Children's Park, right down by Big Chico Creek, with Natalie Carter, Executive Director of Butte Environmental Council, who's going to give us some words around what Butte Environmental Council thinks about the whole issue of giving the city park rangers guns and making them part of the police force. So welcome to the Chico Vibe, Natalie Carter.
Thanks for having me. So, yeah, you know, the conversation around potentially changing our park rangers from being under the management of our public works department and switching them to the police department to be sworn officers that would be carrying armed. And so Butte Environmental Council is participating in the conversation because we're committed to our city parks. They're a cherished community resource that contributes to the health and well-being of our community members and our wildlife and our regional environment. And so what happens in the parks and the experience that our community has and is important and is worth some consideration. And so this is an issue that the environmental community has been discussing for a little while with the city, and so I'm happy to be here to chat about it.
Have you met with the city at all regarding this specific issue, quote-unquote, a Beck-requested meeting?
Sure. I had a conversation with city management this week and to sort of discuss some of the factors that are involved in this, whether that be what the focus is of rangers and that balance between interpretation and maintenance and enforcement, or generally the philosophical implications of making this change that are felt by the environmental community. You know, I mean, for a lot of people, guns are icky. They feel icky and they make people nervous, but they also have a real place in our society to enforce, again, you know, rules that are in place for the greater good. How to find that balance with nature and with the community, and that's always going to be a challenge. So we're here to have the conversation.
Does Butte Environmental Council have an official stance or any statements that they've made or would like to make regarding this idea?
No. At this point, it's more that we're interested in knowing what's happening and making sure that the community is paying attention to the parks and has a voice in the process. You know, the Bidwell Parks and Playground Commission is considering this item, and we definitely want to see that body has an opportunity to review this and make their input. So, no, it's more of an interest than a stance.
What's been your experience in the parks as a citizen of Chico, Natalie?
Well, you know, I mean, I've lived in Chico since I was in kindergarten and have spent a lot of time in the parks and have always, probably those are some of my most treasured memories and experiences in my life are spent outside, and so many of them along Big Chico Creek like we are now. You know, I mean, my encounters with park rangers have always been wonderful. I'm not much of a lawbreaker, so that makes it easy, but that I have found them to be welcoming and there to make sure that everyone is safe and having a good time.
Well, let's stop on that word safe, Natalie. How do you feel when you're in the park? What's your stance is, quote unquote, it's a safety issue. We need rangers with guns for safety reasons.
You know, I mean, the city has a priority on public safety, but when I'm in the park, I guess it depends on where I am and when. After hours, less safe, but you know, that's sort of a nature of an urban area, that if you're out after dark, I think a typical experience for the members of our community. When I'm in the park, I feel solitude and peace, so I don't think that I have particular safety concerns. I like to be in nature. That makes me feel good, and so the park is a good feeling place for me.
Let me turn this a little bit. I mean, as someone that's really connected with the parks and environmental issues in Chico and been here since kindergarten, what would you like to see change in the city park ranger staff? above and beyond giving them guns and making them part of the police force?
Well, I think that if we focus on the experience that our community is having in the parks and connecting our community with the parks, that we'll find more support and that our community will rally around making sure that we continue to have parks as a treasured resource for many generations. And so there's interest in, you know, that I share in having the park rangers have a shared duty. I think we all know that is interpretation, that connecting the community members with the park and saying, oh, this is such and such an animal or a plant, or giving them opportunities to go and learn more about the park, directing them towards the nature center, or giving them maps to the different trails. And those pieces of the interactions that park rangers have with our community that connect us more deeply with the park, I think, are very valued. They also are tasked with maintenance of the park and, of course, enforcing the rules that are there to protect the order and public safety, as any other rules are.
So, Natalie, thanks so much for this interview. Is there anything we'd want to circle back on or any comments you'd like to make before we close this interview?
It's important for our community to pay attention to what is happening in our parks, that we have bodies like the Bidwell Parks and Playground Commission that are hearing this issue and are being given an opportunity to provide some feedback. That's a place for the citizens to get involved. I know the next time the commission is talking about this is the 30th of May. Ultimately, this is a decision that will come to the city council, and that'll be another opportunity for the citizens to voice their opinions and concerns if they have them. So it's an issue we're going to keep tracking, and we want to make sure that our community is involved in what happens in our parks and that our park rangers are there as a resource for our larger community.
It's time for the KZFR Music Calendar. On Friday the 19th, there's a chat benefit concert at the Chico Women's Club with Dylan Starma, Low Flying Birds, and Bahopki starting at 8 p.m. From 4 to 7 p.m. at Duffy's Tavern, it's the Pub Scouts doing their happy hour thing. And the Quasimofos will be down in the City Plaza at 7 p.m. And Sir Francis Lee Howard, Bad Manna, and Viking Skate Country will be at the Maltese that night at 9 o'clock. On Saturday the 20th, a night of Leonard Cohen music will take place at the Blue Room with the likes of Peter and Trisha Burkow, Katrina Rodriguez, Mark McKinnon, and more starting at 7:30. The Mandiag Banya will be out from Chicago with Evan Wolverton and Scout at Midtown Local at 8 o'clock, and the NorCal Rock Extravaganza with Archer Nation, Restrained, and Fate will take place at Lost on Main at 9 p.m. And on Sunday the 21st, it's Rockin' Shop at the Maltese with Arts, Crafts, and Vinyl starting at 2 p.m., followed by Hank Duke's Good Time Variety Hour. And that's the KZFR Music Calendar. If you have an event you'd like listed, please send an email to mc@kzfr.org. This is KZFR Chico. Stay tuned.
All right. We're moving into the arts feature, and it's the 1078, the last performances on Broadway. I actually just buzzed in both of the live performances we're going to have. They've got Cousin Cephas is a comedy improv that's tomorrow at 1078 Gallery on Broadway. And then we've got all four bands. We've got one of the bands coming in here live, I Slay It Forward. And three of the other ones I did interviews, and we're going to be airing their music. But this is actually going out, man. I'm gonna dedicate this one to Jason Cassidy, who's just in the studio, because he said he likes loud music, man. This is heavy metal. This is Chico. This is the Chico vibe. Guillermo Mash here for the May 19th Chico vibe, and I've got Gigantus, man. We're gonna do an interview with Gigantus. Before we put them on the phone here, I want to let you know that Gigantus is loud and fast and raucous, and above all, rock and roll. Hailing from Chico, California, up and coming metalcore act. Gigantus have been playing their own way in the Northern California music scene since their formation in 2013. And we have on the phone here for a pre-record, Jordan Morch, bass player for Gigantus. Welcome to the Chico Vibe, Jordan.
Hey, thank you. How's it going?
It's going great, man. Love to hear some fellow Chiconians and playing some heavy metal, man. So what's up with you guys? What are you all about? What's Gigantus all about, man?
So Gigantus is really all about just having a good time, playing music, meeting people, playing not only in our hometown, but, you know, as far away as we can, really just about making fast, heavy, intense music, something that you know, just want to throw down to.
What's your furthest gig you played?
Furthest gig in Gigantis, we've really only played a couple SoCal dates. We're looking to make our way up north here pretty soon and even more into the more central United States, maybe southern too.
How big is your love for the 1078 Gallery, man?
So intense. We cannot tell you how thankful we've been to the whole 1078 committee. Our vocalist, Ignacio Isern, is one of the bookers at the 1078 Gallery. So he's brought so much, you know, love for the Chico metal scene, the scene altogether. And we just, you know, really appreciate everything he does and everything the 1078 Gallery has done for the Chico music scene.
Why don't you lead us into your single, Sailing Stone, Jordan?
All right, so this next one, this is track 3 off of our brand new EP called Home. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes, every and anything. And this song is called Sailing Stone.
Gigantis, man. I was just talking to Slade Porter's in the studio, man. We both agreed that they do indeed sound an awful lot like Skillet, which is a band that I really, really love. But welcome to KZFR, guys. Slade Porter, man. Give it up.
Actually, it's
I Sink Atlantis. I'm not going to get this straight, man. I Sink Atlantis. I've got four bands. I Sink Atlantis. Sorry, guys. I Sink Atlantis. What's up with you guys are new. This is going to be your first performance live?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect to see at 1078, man.
I Sink Atlantis. A lot of emotion in our set.
We've all came from hard times, so this is our rising to the occasion. We've all been attending 78 shows, and we all love it there, so we're going to make sure we send them off with a blast.
It's going to be a lot of unpredictability for sure.
Yeah.
Unpredictability. What's in the band? What, tell us, 3-piece, 4-piece, 20-piece? What do we got, man?
We're a 4-piece.
4-piece?
Now, we were a 3-piece up until just a week ago.
Yeah.
Now we have a new bass player.
New bass player?
Yeah.
Is that you? He was looking at you.
No. This is our guitarist. Nice, Andrew man. Plays guitar.
Andrew plays guitar.
I'm Jason. I do vocals.
Nice.
I'm Arthur. I play drums.
Drums, man. You got to have a drummer.
Exactly.
Got to have a drummer.
Probably one of the best drummers in this scene right now.
I've never seen you drum because...
He's crazy.
I told Nate Daly, I don't know if you know, I've never seen a bad drummer in Chico, dude. If you're a bad drummer, you're still in your garage. You can't get out,
seriously.
Man. I'm telling you. You got to be able to drum in Chico. So maybe we can transition, guys, to your Pawn Takes Queen. But before I do that, I just want to make sure everyone knows, man, may the tour be with you. That's the 24th at 1078 Gallery, the last metal show, and the doors are at 6:30. So why don't you lead us into this song, the Pawn Takes Queen. I think Atlantis. To whom it may concern. Yes.
This is our first song that we wrote together. Shout out to Arson, Lightfinder, Gigantes. All of our friends in the Chico scene. Can't wait to see you there at the last show for the 1078.
All right, man. Give it up. I Sank Atlantis. Don't let them change your name like I'm trying to do. You guys got the best name ever. All right, man. Here on the Chico Vibe. Guillermo Mash here on the phone with Matt. All right, Guillermo Mash here on the phone with Matt Manfredi from Slay It Forward. Before you hear Matt Manfredi, I want you to let you know Slay It Forward is a high energy, heavy pop punk rock band from Chico, California. Welcome to KZFR, Matt. What can you tell us about the band and how much love you have for 1078 Gallery, man?
Well, we've been playing there, you know, for the last couple of years, and just every time it's just a really welcoming community. Everybody, all the bands, all the promoters have been, you know, so welcoming. I feel like our music's you know, a bit louder than most bands, and everybody's just been really cool. We get to play with a bunch of really cool bands every time.
So you can find Slay It Forwards at slayitforward.com. That rolls real well too, Matt. And why don't you lead us into your song, man, the one we're going to play on the radio, Pawn Takes Queen, here on KZFR.
Yeah, well, this is coming up off of our upcoming EP called There Will Be Drama, and we wrote this as a band, kind of just put it together collaboratively. You know, we all have separate parts, and we just kind of put them together over time, and I feel like this is one of the heavier songs off the EP, and yeah, we all like playing it. It's one of our favorite songs to play live.
I'm potting that one down. I got to pot it down so I can give as much time as I possibly can to Cousin Cephas Improv Project. They're in the house, man. Give it up for Cousin Cephas here on Chico Vibe. Tell us about your project, man. What do we need to know about the improv, man? Improv team.
Well, basically, we are comedy, but we are not of the stand-up variety. Everything we come up with is right off the top of our heads, usually from the subject, from the audience or other people that we ask of. So definitely something different than what you're used to.
And we have four of you guys, guys and girls. Why don't you just go around real fast so they know who it is when they hear the voice.
Annie Fisher. I am Jason.
I'm Annie.
I'm Ellie. and I'm Chaz.
All right, I'll be the audience. Why are you so excited about your 1078 show tomorrow on Cousin Cephas Improv Project, man?
Well, we're excited because not only is it a good full-length show for us and for everyone to attend, but it's also the last comedy show at the present location of 1078 before they relocate. So we're excited and saddened to be a part of that end of an era, if you will.
End of an era, but the beginning of a new one. It's like a door closes, mm-hmm. another one opens, man.
Exactly.
Maybe I need a funnier prompt question. pizza. Pizza. Why is pizza good, man? Pizza.
Well, pizza has everything. It has all the food groups right there. And mm-hmm. when you're drunk, it also has the grease element. So mm-hmm. in this town, I think that's why there's like 7 to 8 pizza shops.
Yeah.
And there's like a pizza shop to every bar. It's so great.
And Congress says it's a fruit, so...
Yeah, it can be anything you need it to be, which is the beauty of pizza.
And if Congress says it, it can't be fake news.
Maybe alt facts, but never fake news.
Right.
But also, yeah, this is going to be a benefit show. We're going to be giving all the proceeds to the 1078 to help them move their location. Nice. Because, just nice. Doing something nice for them because they've done a lot of nice things for the town.
They sure have.
So even if you just are a miserly, evil person who hates laughter, you can just come by, buy a ticket, and then leave to help the 1078.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could just open up your whole wallet. You could give them your mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Right? That would help them.
Get a receipt. Get tax a receipt. Exemption.
Yeah.
Tax exemption. I'm loving it. What do we got? Donald Trump, man. What would we say if you heard Donald Trump? Uh-oh. They're like, oh. Donald Trump.
I want to know what kind of hair dye he uses. Like, I'm pretty interested in that. That's a very vivid orange, and I'm just wondering if he actually killed a fox, or if that's just hair dye.
I think that's why he's so anti-science. It's got to be something nuclear, you know, something that's just really hideous to the environment that, you know, has to create that color.
I feel like he'd be really useful as compost.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it kind of put that way. I agree with that.
I feel like that would be compost. What he would be best suited for.
Yeah, he rose as something else. Yeah, probably be better.
Although it'd probably be like that tree from Ferngully, like the Hexus tree that just like pollutes everything. So it's like a 50-50 shot of it being positive.
Being positive. Why don't one of you guys come up with a prompt word? Boom.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of us having to respond to something.
Yeah, see, I tried. I told him I was going to try to get him to break the rules, man. KZFR, give it up. What KZFR? There's your prompt word, huh? KZFR.
Well, I mean, our first live performance, so to speak, was here. It was very terrifying. It still is. I'm getting PTSD right now. In fact, I might need to lie down.
Well, you could. We have plenty of floor space.
Yeah,
I'm loving how you're the one who had PTSD, whereas I'm the one who had like 5 minutes to like guess a random thing. Like I was in the top spot of all the games we played.
It was, and I think you were on the mic that wasn't quite as good as I wanted it to be, so you were a little low. So that, you know.
Well, we put him on the lower one on purpose.
On purpose?
Yeah.
That's great logic. That's the person who's going to be doing the most talking has the worst mic.
It's to make them listen.
Yeah. Boom, Annie Fisher. Nailed it. Annie's going to be doing this Chico Ladies Night. We're revisiting.
I am really excited.
Yeah. That's coming up in July because Annie and Becky Lynn, we do a bunch of women performers come through and we just have MC comics. So now I'm promoting that, but I don't know. I see you there, your smiling face. The first time I've seen you behind the mic, like this since that night. So any closing comments, man? What could we say to get them in the door? Ooh. Get them in the door. The door is open and it says 1078. What are they going to see? What are they going to see?
Last comedy show ever at the 1078. It's going to be our last full show for a while. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing other things. But by all means, if nothing else, like it was pointed out, if you know, do it for the 1078, if not for us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's for a good cause, and it's improv, so this is a once-in-a-lifetime performance. It'll never be the same show again.
That's true.
And when you come and you suggest, you help shape the show, too, so that's always fun.
For Watch your suggestions come to life before Boom. Your very eyes.
Boom. And bring pizza.
Yes, always. We're always down.
Amazing. Please bring pizza and money for 1078.
Yes. Pizza for us, money for 1078.
Yeah, we're going to be hungry since we're not taking in any of the proceeds. So yes. Please do that.
We'll improv for food, yes.
And we'll improv for food. And there we have it. Cousin Cephas Project, they're going to be at 1078 Gallery tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6:30, I think. Doors at 6:30? Am I right? Doors at 7, shows at 8. You can get there earlier, you get 6:30, go across the street for tacos. Boom.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for coming.
We'll bring tacos too. We'll eat
bring tacos too. Yeah. Yeah, food for the comics. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The Chico Vibe is made possible by generous contributions of our supporters and by Grocery Outlet of Chico. Independent owner and operator Chris Hostetler brings locally grown and produced items as well as fine brand names in groceries, housewares, health and beauty products, including organic, and has fine wines and more. Chico Grocery Outlet is open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. on weekends, and they're located at 2157 Pillsbury Road next to Kmart. Find them on Facebook and at groceryoutlet.com. Give it up for the premiere of the With Wolves song, Abracadabar. And they're going to be playing on May 24th. They're going to be playing with the May the Tour Be With You. And that's the last metal show at the 1078 Broadway location. Get down there. You don't want to miss out.
All right, man. That's about it for the Chico Vibe. We're going to be leaving you here in just a second with, it was such so much fun. The Maltese, 7 bands, $7, 7 years. And we got a wonderful recording by Hallelujah Junction. But tune in next week and, you know, be sure, man, Send 78, a lot of love. We had them on here last week talking about all the wonderful things they're doing. They had Aaron Wade, board of directors, Roxy Palmer. Shout out, Roxy Palmer. But, yeah, man, support the scene. Support 1078 Gallery. And I'm telling you, this metal show on Saturday is going to be off the hook. But that's about all I got for the Chico Vibe. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being who you are and what you are, and because that's what you're supposed to be on People Out Radio.
This Maltese, 7 years, $7, $7.
This place rocks. Thank you. Thank you, Angela. And the staff, of course.
And the band.
And the bands. And the people and the neighborhood and the whole community. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Come